you have your Bible tonight, turn with us. First of all, I want to turn back over to, we're going to be turning to Genesis chapter 6 in just a minute, but I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Father, we open this precious book. Lord, I don't have to say it. You know my heart. I love this book. And I just love spending time in it. And I pray you'd guide this mind. I have no desire to teach a lie or truth, that which is not truth. Lord, I desire to understand your will. The older I get, I pray you'd give me the power, not only the illumination to understand, but the power to present the word of God accurately. And dear Father, tonight, help us grow as we take a little section each week and we look at it, analyze it, develop it, partake of it, try to make it applicable in our life. And dear Father, somehow or another, help us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord to see you better through eyes of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been started on this thing of history. And this last Sunday, last Wednesday night tonight, we're talking about in the beginning. And then we go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we pick up some things. And last week I said, you know, our freedom to make choices is crucial in life. God gave us ability to speak. He gave us language. He gave us ability to speak in language as far as individuals to each other, and also to speak to him so he could speak to us. And even his book, thank God, even his book gave language. It's in our language now, and God's preserved it for our particular day to have the absolute word of God. Now, man is responsible for what he does in history. Man writes his history. And as you live each day, you're making history. Maybe you won't go in history books that, like some predominant people will, but you are making history. And all of our history together sets forth a culture or a nation that we live in to either go one way or the other. We will dominate with God's help, or we'll sit back and let others dominate, and then God will come in himself one day. But man is responsible for what he does in history. And then, of course, also, Adam and Eve lived at peace with each other in harmony, in a society of stability, perfect harmony, and understanding, I believe, that they had equality. Adam and Eve had equality before they ever fell. Everything was even keel. I just think we just can't imagine how they got along. I'm sure not having any sin whatsoever, not having a fallen nature at all, everything was in harmony with each other, and what they said they agree on, and it was a beautiful time. And evil desires did not stand in the way of a reason or their decisions. Anytime they began to reason about anything or had decisions to be made about anything, there was nothing evil at all that stood in the way. And so when sin entered in Genesis chapter 3, though, it disrupted everything. And we began to look at human life that entered in human life, we see the perfect way of life that they had changed. And I went through some of that last week. One thing I want us to read tonight to start with is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Because when we see sin entered in, here's what God says as far as a curse is concerned to man and to Eve, and to also as far as the earth was concerned. He said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now, we understand that's natural birth, but the next thing that God says is always a puzzle. And yet God did that because when you're not in a perfect society and evil sets in, you have to have order. And to have order, you have to also have a sequence that where you have a chain of command. And so now God says, because sin has entered in, watch, he said, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, the word rule there sometimes in the Old Testament we read, some men take advantage of that. This is not talking about being a tyrant. It's not talking about being a dictator. It's not talking about that the female also becomes less than what she is. Because when you get to the New Testament, you see what sin did to man. Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ, put us back to a different level. I want to do that, use that before we go any further, because right now we're looking at they left innocent. Now they're in a state of consciousness. And in this particular state of consciousness, conscience begins to be the only factor of governing now. For 1,600 years, 1,650 years from the time that Adam and Eve fell until the time God destroys this earth for water, they had conscience. That was the only factor of governing. Now, what happens in conscience is this. To start with, when Adam and Eve saw what was wrong and what they did wrong, and God clothed them and gave a sacrifice, then they had the right information to give out, and their conscience would be more godlike. But because of the fallen nature, if you don't keep renewing your mind and keep understanding what God is saying, Satan's going to come in and feed it something else. Now, the problem is, you see, God is omnipresent. And just because they have a conscience doesn't mean they're going to see God physically now. There's a separation to some degree because of sin. And only thing that can keep an intimate relationship with God now is to give the right sacrifice when God said to give them. So here you've got a society movement of 1,650 years, and they're dealing with conscience, which is a factor of governing them. And even though they split off a little bit in different groups, and they start nations, although they want to have one language, they have groups of people, cultures, which they start nations from different places at 650 years, and the conscience of man began to be seared against the things of God. And the reason for that is, if you don't have your head in the direction of what God is saying, and we have the Word of God now, if we're not teaching ourselves and letting God teach us about himself, then the devil's teaching us. Because in a false society, you just live. And you're going to find you're going to pick up everything Satan does unless you have something to counteract it. And the flesh in a fallen condition has no power to counteract anything Satan wants to do. We can make a few good decisions from time to time, make some good decisions from time to time. But if we don't have more than just humanity in making decisions, we will in general go further from God. And that's what happens. We see in 1,650 years, they leave a place of absolute perfect innocence. And in a state where there was no sin at all, Adam and Eve failed. And at that time, their conscience gave them understanding of what right and wrong is. They certainly know God meant what he said the day you did that tree of knowledge, you're going to die. Even though they didn't know it the day that they did it, they spiritually died before the Lord. It won't long before they understood there was something wrong with them. They didn't enjoy God's presence. And later they had death in their own family, which brought it visible to them. In the sense that death meant more than just what God said spiritually, they had died spiritually. And so now here they find their conscience guided them. And if it is not replenished with the things of earth, just living in a fallen state, you get worse and you get worse and you get worse. That's reading the Bible says man will wax worse and worse and worse. You know why? Because he leaves God out. Only God can change the directions. Only God can keep us in the right direction. And God will not coerce us. But he will give us the information. He'll tell us the right thing to do. Even in Israel, knowing how she would be, knowing that they rebel like he did, he set up a great system that where in turn they could give sacrifices. Even though they break the laws of God, they give the right sacrifice. And God rolled that over to Calvary, showing us a wonderful plan. Even as sacrifices died at that time, he tells us in Hebrews, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But yet it did cover sin and atonement until Jesus should come. So now I'm seeing that he says that at this particular time, when it comes to Adam and Eve, he said to them now, he says the husband is going to rule the wife. Now when sin entered into this human life, perfect equality ended. Harmony ended. Didn't it? You don't have perfect equality today. No matter how hard you try, we don't have perfect harmony today. We just don't. I'm talking about just with somebody in our loved ones. So we don't have it in the world. We don't have it among our loved ones. Why is it that anything comes up like it does? It's because of this fallen, depraved nature. I read a story, and it kind of tells what's been said. It said there was a scorpion who got close to a river where it had risen pretty high and had to go across. And this scorpion couldn't swim. And he saw this frog. And he says to the frog, hey, if you let me ride on you and you take me across this river, I won't sting you. And the frog said, I don't know about that. He said, let me tell you this. Why would I sting you? If I sting you in the middle of the river, you're going to die and I'm going to drown. Don't that make sense? I mean, I'm not going to get out there in the middle of that river and sting you. And then both of us die. And the frog said, well, that does sound reasonable. Get on. So the scorpion got on top of him. And he got it on his back, and he started going across the river, got about halfway. The scorpion bit the frog. And the frog began to be paralyzed. And he said, You told me you wouldn't do that. I knew I shouldn't trust you. Why would you do that? Why would you bite me like that? You're going to die. You're going to drown. I'm going to die too. Why would you bite me like that? He said, I lied. Well, why would you lie? The scorpion said, it's just my nature. Well, that's the way Satan is. He'll tell you everything in the world, but the end results won't come out like it was. Why? It's his nature to lie. He's a liar, Jesus said. He's a liar, he's a father of lies, and he'll never give us anything that helps us unless he gives us something temporary to make us do something worse or later. And so here, this is what happened. Our conscience is, in Adam and Eve, certainly was better even that, and better when it started after the fall than it was 1,650 years later, where God had to destroy the whole human race except Noah and his family found, Noah found grace in his eyes, or in his sight. So here, as man developed, Satan just took his time, a little bit at a time, and man waxed a little worse. His conscience got a little more evil. And after a while, you know the reason why it does that? Because of what Jeremiah said. You remember Jeremiah in the Old Testament made this statement in verse chapter 17, verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate, wicked. Who can know it? And then the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. So he said, the heart of man is evil. Unless it's changed, you have to be on guard all the time. And we're just not that way. So now we come back to this statement made here. He said to Eve that she was going to have sorrow and pain and birth. And he said, thy husband shall be to thy, and thou shalt be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. Thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over you. Now, I want you to turn with me, first of all, in Galatians. If you look at me in Galatians chapter 3, you're going to see Paul defining a little bit about this thing. In other words, God, if you read just this verse here, you think, well, God just said, he just loves man better than a woman. He just put a man over a woman. Man can do anything he wants to. That's a lie. You can't do it. The Bible describes. See, God tells us about things, and it explains it later, and the Holy Spirit helps us put it together. Because if you looked in Galatians, and Paul wrote to the church at Galatians in chapter 3, verse 22, he said, but the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, God has declared all have sinned, Romans 3, 23 also, all have sinned come short of the glory of God. God has declared all have sinned, and he said he did that because they all conclude under sin. He said that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ, preposition all, in or of, he said, might be given to them that believe. In other words, God concludes all sinners so that all can see in Christ they can be saved. How? If they believe. Now, that means that depraved person who has born in sin with nature Adam, that's going to die, absent from God, that means God has prepared a way that where they can come back to God and be in the family of God. Watch now, if you will, over verse 26. He said, for ye are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Now, notice this, folks. He didn't say the whole world. He said, now the whole world can because he loves the whole world. But the ones who, listen, for ye are, these he's writing to, the Christians, ye are the children of God. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. That simply means if a man or woman doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ, they are not children of God. Amen. It's absolutely truth. And we have to stand on those principles and those doctrines. He said, notice it. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. If you've been baptized, that is placed into the body of Christ, immersed into the body of Christ, have put on Christ, or certainly should have put on Christ, because now you know something other than the old man. Then notice verse 28 clears what I think we're going to see, verse 16 in chapter 3 of Genesis. And then he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. He says, you're equal. That's what one means. You're everyone. By the way, he didn't just list the animals and other things. He lists male and female. He didn't say male, male, and female, and female. He said male and female. Amen? Now, when I see that, he said, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and then heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you will, in Colossians chapter 11, turn over another few pages, verse 3. And we're going to see that he said the same thing that you see in Ephesians chapter 5, when God speaks to the church at Ephesus. As a matter of fact, let me read Ephesians chapter 5 to start with. look down about verse 21. Now he's talking about, he's given information of what happens now since you're in the family of God and you're equal. Think with me just a moment now. When you say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, do you not consider them co-equal? Are they not all three God? Now watch this, because it's important. And this will help me understand this thing about the male and the female in the home, and help me understand even what God said through Moses in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, when he talked about the man, her desire will be to the husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now watch. In Ephesians chapter 5, you see down about verse 21, he's talking about submitting each other in the fear of the Lord. And then he said, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, as unto the Lord. Now, if he'd have stopped there, you'd have had a reason to have a problem. But wait a minute. God doesn't put a responsibility on one without putting a responsibility on the other. And he shows us, as he gives us understanding for us, that God didn't need it for him to understand how his position of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are. They're subject to each other in the role play and to show us God's plan, though they're equal. Here he says, then husband, for the husband is the head. He said, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as the Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, because of this, he says, watch, as the church is subjected unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. But it didn't just stop there. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Now turn with me over to Colossians. Let's see again as Paul writes this, and he goes a little further. What you're seeing now is a chain of command. You're seeing a chain of command as God deals with things in a society. Even though God the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son are equal in their authority, in their holiness, in everything that God is, we see that they play a role part. God is the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ is the one who we see. If you look in, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to start with, and I'll get you see the chain of command. Paul said in verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I was also of Christ. Paul said, if you're going to follow me, you don't follow me because I'm just Paul or Saul of Tarsus. You follow me because, he said, I am also in Christ. You follow me because you know enough about Christ and his word and the scriptures to know that I'm following the Lord. And if I'm not following the Lord, Paul is saying, in other words, don't follow me. But if you see that I'm following the Lord, then it's okay to follow someone. It's good to know someone's following the Lord and then follow him. But if you see someone deviate from that, you're better off not to follow. And because Paul could say, be it follows me as I am also of Christ. Watch, in verse 3 he said, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is what? Christ. Wait a minute, fellas. That's where you go, see. The head of every man is Jesus Christ. It's important to see that. Then notice what he said. And the head of the woman is who? The man. See, if Jesus Christ is the head of the man, then the head of the woman is going to be what he ought to be. Come on now, ladies, help me out. You know I'm telling you the truth. Men, you know I'm telling you the truth too. Christ makes a difference. It is not human in the evil of the heart that dominates when God's in it and it be right, or when God's not in it. A man may dominate his home to the place that he becomes master and everybody needs to bow. That's not what God's talking about here. He said as Christ is head of the, as God is head of Christ, and I'd have you know that as that every man's, that the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is man. Then he said, and notice, and the head of Christ is God. Oh, my. Why would even Christ have to recognize the head of him is God? Because they're equal. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Please understand. I need to get this because I won't hit this anymore for a long time. But you'll see what God does. He gives straight instructions at times, and then he takes other times to explain some things that makes you see God never gives us the right to do what's wrong. God never gives a man the right to beat his wife. God never gives a man the right to curse his wife. Any more than man has a right to curse God or curse Christ. Any more that Christ, and Christ will never disrespect his heavenly Father when he was here on this earth. And he goes on. Now, if you look at me in Colossians, we'll see he goes a little further with this chain of command. In verse 18, he said, wives, submit your husband unto your own soul. Watch, as it is fit in the Lord. How would it be fitting the Lord? Because to do that is to have the chain of command. God, you can't have, you know, you can't have two heads on anything. If you do, you end up in a museum somewhere or another. You can't do it. So what happens, you hear me say many times, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then you come in where it comes to man. And it's an amazing thing that even when Adam and Eve sinned, ladies and gentlemen, God didn't say, Eve, where art thou? Did he? If he does, you got the wrong scripture, I tell you that. Well, who did he say? Adam. Why? Because Adam was the head. Adam should have known better. Adam fell by transgression. He wasn't even deceived. He fell by transgression. He decided that he'd rather have his mate and be with her in what looked now like a blessed activity and be with God. And he found out it was wrong. So now look what he said. He says, Paul said to Colossians, and it really unravels this thing for me. He said, wives, submit yourself to your husband as it is fit unto the Lord. Now watch, husband, love your wives and be not bitter unto them. Well, that's a command. And listen, if a person dominates to the place that there's fear, there'll be bitter. And here, you see what we're saying? If you look at one place, you may not get the clear picture. But God has given us a whole Bible. And he showed us the difference in dispensation. And he's really shown us what has happened since Jesus Christ has come and died and gave us a new creation. And even the Holy Spirit that lives within us that helps us understand and systematically put this book together as we study it. Then he goes on and watch, and he said, and children, even there, obey your parents. In all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. If there's no other reason that children don't obey their parents, God said it's pleasing to me. And then he goes on. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Then servants, obey in all the things your master according to the flesh. Not with eye service as a man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing of God. Verse 23, and then he ends up as he names all of these things in verse 23. He said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. What you do to each other, husband, wife, children, whatever in that thing, inside the workplace, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. And he said to do that, of course, is the service of the Lord. And when you think about that, that's one of the things that I'm amazed. It used to, and I thank God, even when I had the funeral for Brother Johnson and a few others, I thank God, if you look in Hebrews with me, this really hit home to me. And studying in Hebrews chapter 13. You want to turn and see that. Some people mock the fact that God said this in in chapter 13, verse 17. He's talking to the saints of God. He said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. Now, this is talking about those who handle the word of God in the house of God here, because he goes back and let your conversation be cut without covenant, be content, and such things. He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, how we go outside the camp, and so forth. But here he says, obey them which have the rule over you, submit yourself, for they watch for your soul. Why? Because they deserve it? No. He said, if they're genuine, the men of God, as they should be, they watch for your soul. Why? Watch. That they, he said, as they that must give an account. He didn't say they may. He said, they want, and they will give an account. They will give an account of you. Watch what he said. And he says, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. He said, then, if it's for grief, that's not profitable for you. It's unprofitable. See that? And the same thing here. When we obey God in the sequence that we are and where we're at, it pleases God. And there's rewards for that. So here he says, one of the factors of sin entered in is that there's things change now when you leave innocent and move into conscious and the dispensation, because at this particular time, you're going to desire is going to be to your husband. And when that desire is to your husband, you're going to find that they will have the head of the house. It will be that God will work through them. By the way, for 1,600 years, they didn't have government, so it was the head of the house, it was priests. Every individual was a priest of their home. They had to do the same. You don't find the priesthood didn't start to Abraham's day, as we see in the sense of a nation set up in that Leviticus system. And it actually started after Abraham's day when Moses came out, let him out of the land of Israel, but out of the land of Egypt. But here, that sets that forth. Now watch, that's what he said to the woman. Then he said about the man. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Isn't it amazing? Now here God says, not because you did again. He said, you hearkened to your wife. Why? That led to the sin. You see that? You understand that? He said, because I've hearkened to the voice of your wife. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, said, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow that thou eat of all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring it forth, bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. And the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Amazing. It's just unbelievable. He's talking about returning to the ground, and yet nobody's even died physically as yet. He said, till you return to the ground. And he said, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Now, Eve, not only is the husband going to rule you, and your desire is going to be to him. In fact, you're not going to be the head. He's going to be the head. You know the reason why the family moves so much today is satanic inspired. It's fighting a guy rich against him. You know, because, hey, that was written 6,000 years ago. It don't mean today. It does mean today, too, folks. In the family of God, in the world, they do what they want to. And they're going to do what they want to. And we're going to see that as... in government now, after 650 years, in government God sets up also another means of a covenant where in turn that he can protect people from evil because conscience not doing it. Conscience did not protect them from evil. By the time 1650 years came to pass, if you get down to verse chapter 6, look with me. This world's in a mess. And so the husband ruled the wife in the sense of being head, and he says the workplace is going to cease to be a place of pleasure. I don't know what they did before, probably just picked the fruit. But now they're going to have to chop. They're going to thorns and thistles and wire grass and things like that we have today. You just don't plant it. It's just a lot of hard work. And he goes, and when he talks about it, he puts it pretty plain. He said thorns and thistles, and you're going to tend it. Sorrow that thou eat of the days of your life, and the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. Boy, you raised on the farm, you know what he's talking about there too. They didn't have air conditioning that day, just like we didn't have when I was coming along years ago. Amen. So here, but we get down to chapter 6 now. 1,650 years later, conscience has been the means that God has given for people to govern themselves, and yet it has failed. Ladies and gentlemen, an amazing thing. I bet you there, I don't know how many thousands of people is alive this time. But you know, only Noah found grace in the sight of God. So only Noah's family, he and his family, about 8 people, lived. He killed every one of them. Does that sound like the God we serve? Yes. Not to a lot of folks, though. Boy, they say, I don't believe, you can believe that. I don't believe in a God like that. I do, because that's the real God. See, he means what he says about sin, folks. If that is not the real God, and he did it, then we better find a real God, because God shows us. He's a merciful, loving, gracious God. But he's going to destroy sin and anyone else that don't let the blood of Christ deal with it. So watch what happens. We get down. Now, as we look at this, husband, humanism, human thoughts, I should say, requires language. And our learning has to do with thinking in words. And I told you last week that the rule of human thinking is called logic. And logic, is the science of correct thinking or correct reasoning, or it's the science of incorrect reasoning or incorrect thinking. So the fall of man brought about the fall of man, which is incorrect thinking and incorrect reasoning. And it's called today humanism, one word. Humanism is putting man in the place of God. And that's what we're going to see start happening in the next little bit. As a matter of fact, the question is why man tries to make himself God. Why does he do that? Because he thinks in his conscience, and disbelieving there's a God, he has all the answers, or he can get the answers. He's more intelligent than anything else God made as far as the human race is concerned, as far as matter is concerned. And so he tries to make himself God. He only makes himself, though, like an animal rather than God. Because to make himself God, he gets further from God and lives like an animal. Now, the way people began to go, we get down to chapter 6, and we see what's happening here. They began to grow in groups. And as they move in certain geographical location, they come into a place called, they call culture. And the most important part of a culture is how people relate to God. A culture is going to be the best when it relates to God. A culture will be the worst when it doesn't relate to God. And the time you get down to chapter 6, the whole human race except Noah's family is not relating to God. All cultures grow in knowledge and ability to some degree. They are led by an individual or sometimes rise up in the ranks because they outstand anyone else, or a group of people collectively together that has a, we might consider a king or who has or someone's a leader, even like a president and so forth, yet they have a cabinet and so forth that leads, but he's the final authority of everything. So they also grow in rebellion against God due to fallen conditions. And that's what's happening now. 1,650 years gone by, now all of a sudden in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, he said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, I'm trying to lead to, because we're fixing to see now, after 1,650 years, it took in conscience that went bad, that God had destroyed the human race. Within about 106 years, you see man now developing his own society that becomes a social rebellion. And that'll come against God. Time you get to chapter 11, and you see Nimrod and what he tries to do. God says, I will do certain things, and then here comes man along and says, no, we're going to do certain things. And they rebel against God in doing what they think would be right, leaving God out. And God had to confuse the tongues. We look at that. And that's where really society started, when you have the two seen in the world the first time. You have the blessed group in Genesis 12, where he started with Abraham. And then you have the social rebellion group, which has to do with Nimrod in Babylon. And Babel is the town he started, and Babylon, the religion, came out of that, and it's gone through all down through the ages, even to get the book of Revelation. The social element called Babylon is that element which is against God. And even the book of Revelation in the future is going to become, it's coming back up again. Because there's only two systems, that system that obeys God and that system that don't obey God. And the thing about it is, now where we're living at, God, you can't see God. You see the evidence of him. He said that. But you can't see God. But Satan has everything in matter around us that we can see, and the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life takes hold of that. And that's what destroys those three eye gates. Lust of the flesh gets us every day. I guarantee it gets you every day somewhere. It's something to drink, something to eat, something. It may not just be flesh appetites in the sense of another person, but it's flesh gets us every day. Lust of the eyes gets us too. I tell you what, if you ride down the road and you see something, all of a sudden look second time, there's something about that. You got your second look. Amen? Say, not me, preacher. You ever look second or third time at something? Because lust of the eyes, what do they? If it won't, it wouldn't bother you much. I know you believe the Bible. What do you think I'm telling you? I hope you're telling, no, I'm telling you the truth. I know this, if you look in the mirror and talk to yourself a little bit what your life is like in a day's time, you'll see God knows us better than we know ourselves. You know that? He sure does. And so here, these cultures come together and led by someone, and they grow. And I want you to just think with me just a moment. Notice what he says. He said, and God saw that wicked a man that was great in the earth, and he said, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. There was no gaps in it whatsoever. Then it repented the Lord. Get into that, because I get so many damaging doctrines today that God repents. God don't have to repent. Well, what does that mean? Very obvious if you understand God. We repent by changing our mind. God doesn't never have to change his mind. So he uses what he calls a phenomenon. That is, it looks like he did. And I'm going to say this, because when I said that, I know someone go out of here and not understand it. Reason I say that is this. You and I don't have complete knowledge. We only have part knowledge. God has complete knowledge. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to quote it. Over here, God sees the future. I got to stay around the mic tonight. Over here, God sees the future. Let's say he's looking down the future, and all of a sudden something happens right here in his plan. And he says, you know, I repent of the fact that I did this, and I'm going to do this. And someone said he changed his mind. No. If you and I come up to that, we change our mind because we can't see beyond that. God's knowledge is complete. He doesn't have to make a change here and say, oh, it's wrong now. I got to change my mind about it. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows now, for us to understand, it looks like he changed his mind, but he did not change his mind. Why? Because he already knew the end from the beginning. Where we come to here and we stop, we don't see nothing else, and we change our mind, and hopefully it's good for the change, but the future will tell. When God gets here, whatever he does is already seen in the future. It's complete knowledge. If God had to change his mind like you and I do, he couldn't be God. Because he'd be like you and I, wishy-washy, didn't know what we're doing, changing our mind, everybody'd be confused. But God is not confused, and neither he wants us to be confused. But he tells us when we repent, ladies, it's a change of mind, turning around and trusting what God has to say rather than what man has to say. And I won't get into that any further at this time. I was going to say something else here. These rabbit trails just get me all. All this is very interesting. Lord, please let me. I was going to say, maybe once a week. Maybe I got you so confused I want to wait next week. Let's see if I know. I know what I was going to say. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. My mind's bad, but he's helping me. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say one statement. This is it. I know you don't believe it. This is it. Listen to it, folks. Did you know? Hear me. Did you know without Noah's faith, we would never have more history? Think about that. Every last one of us since Noah's day came through either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. You can trace back for one of those three. And if Noah had not found grace in God's sight, let me tell you something, folks. And I know if's a big word because there's no such thing as if in God's sight because he knew what he's going to do. But if it had not been for Noah, you and I never existed because God meant what he said. Thank God he found grace in God's sight. And by the way, thank God we found grace in God's sight too. Amen. Amen. Our history has been made, but when we leave time, unless God's got the only thing, when those books over there open up and we're judged out of those books as far as serving him, our history has been made for the glory of God, and that's the reason we need to keep our head in this book. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this book. Please help me in my feeble way as I get older. Voice gets quaking, and mind begins to not be as useful as it used to be. Dear Father, and eyes are getting weaker. I just pray, God, please help this word be hid in my heart. And dear Father, when I teach it, let it be that which will bless people. Let it not be that we get up and try to just teach something to make a person feel good in the sense of self-help and wealth. Lord, if we'll do what you have us to do and believe what you said in your word, those things will come because God loves us. Everything we have come from you, Lord, we recognize that. And if we use it wisely, God said he's going to bless us like he did Abraham. When we get to that, because God set forth the blessed way, obedience to God brings the blessings of God. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, we're fixing to see these two parallels going each other down through history. And we're going to quickly get a rough sense of this as we get down to chapter 11 and see that tower being built, what went on there. Dear Father, help us put it together. Help us, as we study each section, be able to put it in the overall section to see the picture of what God is doing, that we might stand firm in these last days for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.